Zach and Kim. It's been, I told my daughter when I found out we were going to be going through Ephesians that if she was down or depressed, that after this she wouldn't be. These, especially the first three chapters of where our standing in Christ has been, is very uplifting. If you would stand with me as we read the scriptures this morning. Be Ephesians 1, 11 through 14. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In him also, having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. You may be seated.
Thank you, Dave, for capably reading those scriptures, and they are uplifting. In his book, Uncommon, former player and football coach Tony Dungy tells the story of former Steeler head coach and, yes, Cleveland native Chuck Knoll, how Chuck Knoll, when he was a coach, he was concerned about his players and not merely and how they played the game. He was very concerned about how they lived life outside of football, and he would teach them not only how to do well physically, but also relationally, emotionally, and in their family lives. And Coach Dungy says that Coach Knoll used to say this all the time to his players. He would say, never, ever make a job decision based upon money. Don't do it. Do not make it based upon money. And Coach Dungy agreed with that philosophy and taught his players to do the same. Coach Dungy said that when he was coaching the Indianapolis Colts, many times a player would love playing for the Colts. He would fit in very well with the team's offense or defensive scheme. He would love the coaching staff. He would love the players. His family would be very comfortable in Indianapolis. And above all that, he'd be just having a whole lot of fun. And then a team would come along and be able to offer that player $2 million a year more, and off they would go, running for the money. And it rarely works. And what's true of athletes is also very true in life. Let's be honest, money does help us do certain things in life, but it has some pretty significant limitations as well. Amen? Significant limitations. And it really is foolish to take a job solely because it gives you more money. And that's specifically true of Christians, because we are very rich right now, and in the future we're going to be rich out of this world. And so it makes no sense to focus solely on money. What are the characteristics of a believer's future inheritance in Christ? Why is it important for us to understand these characteristics? In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11, we see the characteristics of the inheritance that belong to everybody who belongs to Jesus. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. Ephesians 1, verse 11. I'd like to briefly just share where we've been, because it really fits to where we're at this morning. We talked about the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus. And first, in verses 4 through 7, we talked about the blessings that are ours that come from the hand of God the Father. God the Father loves those who belong to him. And we saw that. He demonstrates it because he chose us. He adopted us as his children, and he treats us like his son, Jesus. That's from the hand of God the Father. Then we saw that God the Son also blesses us. He delivers us from the power of sin. He forgives. Because of him, we have the forgiveness of sins in proportion to the amount of grace that he gives us, which is infinite. So he continues to forgive us over and over again. And he grants us wisdom to know what the future will be, so we don't have to worry about the present. God the Father bestows blessings upon us. God the Son bestows blessing upon us. Guess who we're going to talk about this morning? God the Holy Spirit. And how that ties into our future inheritance. First characteristic regarding our future inheritance. The secret of our future inheritance. There's a secret. You got to be in on the secret. Verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. The secret to being incredibly rich forever is to make sure that a person is in him. You got to be in Christ. Have to be connected to Jesus. Have to trust what Jesus did on the cross for you personally, so that when God the Father looks at you, he looks not just at you, but he sees Jesus. And what Jesus is going to receive, you will receive also, because God the Father treats you just as he treats his son Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, that magnificent apex of perhaps the entire New Testament, Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We are joint heirs with Christ. What Jesus is going to inherit, we too will inherit. That raises the question, what will Jesus inherit? If we're going to get what he gets, what's he going to get? Well, in Psalm 2, the second Psalm, David outlines for us what Jesus is going to inherit. Psalm 2, verse 6, yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. And I will give you the ends of the earth for your possession. So the day is coming when Jesus will own, he will rule over all the nations, and the entire earth will be in his possession. And as joint heirs with Christ, we too will rule over all the people of the earth, every place, and we will possess all the nations and the entire net worth of this earth will be ours, because we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We will rule with him and we will possess with him as well. Our inheritance is the same. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Paul said it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, if we suffer with him, we also shall reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:12. And so we will inherit the earth. Isn't it interesting that it's the meek who will inherit the earth? The people who are not striving, the people who are humble, the people who accept what God graciously gives them, they're the ones that are going to get the whole earth. Not the ones who strive to rule the world. It's interesting, God, to read things that people say about the key to being wealthy in this life. And there's a lot of good things that people write about and that people say. Some people will say you need to invest in real estate, good real estate. Other people will say that you need to invest in good companies, companies that increase their dividends year after year and reinvest those in dividends, and they will compound your wealth over time. Other people will say that you need to start early, save early. Others will say that you need to do something that you love and that you need to get a good mentor who's also wealthy, who can teach you how to be wealthy. And I agree with all of those things. But there's no one key secret to being wealthy on this earth. There's no one key thing that you got to do. But when it comes to being rich for eternity, there's only one thing. You got to be connected to Jesus. You need to belong to Jesus. You need to give your life to Jesus. You need to trust Jesus. And what he will receive as an inheritance, you will receive also. One secret to be rich, incredibly rich forever. The secret of our future inheritance is to be in Christ. Another characteristic, the sovereignty of God regarding our future inheritance. The sovereignty of God plays a big role. Again, verse 11, in him we also obtain an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Being predestined just means predetermined. God predestines, he predetermines who is going to receive this incredible inheritance of owning the world and ruling over the nations of the world during the millennial kingdom. God chooses beforehand who will have that incredibly rich inheritance. I love Psalm 115, verse 3. Our God is in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases. I love that. God is God, therefore he does whatever he wants, period. And it's the same as the true inheritance. Think about our inheritance. My wife and I have a will, and we have predetermined who's going to inherit our very humble earthly possessions. We have determined that. And God isn't any different. He's Almighty God. He has predetermined who is going to inherit the entire earth. It isn't any different. What is true of God is true of us. The text goes on to say, being predestined according to the purpose of him, God's eternal purposes, who works all things according to the counsel of his will. God works all things out so that his decreed will comes to pass. The things that God determines must come to pass will come to pass, and he works to make sure that they come to pass. And he's allowed to do that, here's the secret, because he's Almighty God. He's allowed to do that. So he predetermines the people that will inherit the earth and rule it with Jesus. And then he works in people's hearts and lives to make sure that they get that inheritance in the future. That's what the text says. In fact, he works all things according to the counsel of his own will. God works in us, in Christ, as he planned to do so. And of course, this is the sovereign side of God when it comes to salvation. In Isaiah chapter 46. Notice what Isaiah 46 says. Isaiah 46 verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's no other. I am God and there's none like me. God declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. He says, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. So God says, okay, this is what I said is going to happen from the end to the beginning. And the things that I really want to have happen, they will happen. And I'll make sure that they happen. Isaiah 46, verse 9. And that goes beyond, of course, who gets the inheritance. In Isaiah chapter 14, we see the same kind of thing in verse 24 of Isaiah 14. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. If God thinks it and he wants it to happen, it comes to pass. As I have purpose, so it shall stand. That I will break the Assyrians in my land and on my mountains and tread him underfoot. Then his yoke shall be removed from them and his burden removed from their shoulders. God says, I'm going to break the yoke of the Assyrians upon the Jewish people. They're not going to rule over them anymore. I've determined it. It's going to happen. This is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. Here it is. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, And who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? If God stretches out his hand, there's nobody who's going to slap his hand and say, you are bad, get that hand back. He's Almighty God. He needs to be allowed to be sovereign in our theology and in our thinking. Jesus said it this way, no man comes to me except the Father who sent me draws him. John chapter 6, 44 and 45. And so God predetermines. But it doesn't end there. There's also the human side of things, right? Notice what the text says, the very next verse, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. So God predetermines who's going to choose him and who's going to get the inheritance. He works in those people's hearts and lives so that they do, and that at an appointed time in our lives, we trust Jesus so that we do. That's what the text says. We trust him. And the reason God has set it up this way, according to our passage, is so that it all shall be to the praise of his glory. In other words, he'll receive all the praise and he will get all the glory. He'll get the praise, he'll get the glory, because when we get to heaven, we'll realize that, boy, it was a good thing that God was at work in my life, because I never would have sought him and I never would have chose him if it wasn't for him. I think deep down inside we know that. When there's somebody that we would love to see trust Jesus as their Savior, what he did on the cross for them, who do we pray to? We pray to God, because we know that he's the only one that can make it happen. And after the person trusts Christ and they get saved from their sins and they come to Jesus, who do we thank? We thank God because we know that he was the one who did it. And so the sovereignty of God is involved in this future inheritance. We trust him at a point in time so that he receives all the praise and all the glory. I've read this, and this is interesting to me. And by the way, I'll let you know up front, I basically agree with this, okay? It has been said, it has been written, that if everybody had all of their possessions taken away, in the United States, let's say, everything is taken away, and we all start all over again fresh with a zero net worth. That over time, the people who are presently wealthy, they'll be wealthy again. They'll be wealthy again. Why? Because it's been programmed in them. They just know how to do it. It's in their DNA. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18 says it this way. You can look it up in your own time. Remember the Lord your God who gave you the power to obtain wealth. They know how to do it. And if you took it all away, they'd do it again. I by and large believe that. So we would say that even in this life, God is sovereign over who gets the wealth. He's sovereign. And you say to yourself, well, those people who are wealthy, those lucky ducks. By the way, I've never understood why ducks are the lucky ones. I don't get that. Why is it ducks? Why not lucky dogs or lucky skunks or I don't know. Well, they're only lucky if they get to enjoy the future inheritance forever. Because the wealth we enjoy in this life, as many people have said, you can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. So wherever you're at in terms of wealth in this life, if you're wealthy forever, I would kind of sort of focus on that. It's a little bit more important. Even though money has its important place, it really does. So we've seen the secret of our future inheritance. We need to be in Christ. We've seen the sovereignty of God in our future inheritance. He works, he picks, he makes it happen. How about the security of our future inheritance? You know, a lot of inheritances aren't that secure, are they? we think we're going to get a lot of money, and the person who's going to give us that money after they pass away, they have a long, prolonged illness, they're in a nursing home, and it's all gone. The stock market crashes. The real estate market crashes. They change their mind and they give the money to our sister or brother. The security of our future inheritance. Verse 13, in him, that is in Jesus, you also trusted. We have our role. We have our part. We need to trust what Jesus did on the cross for us. We are the ones who genuinely trust in him, have a secure future inheritance. After you heard the word of truth, nobody trusts Jesus unless they heard the word of truth, right? Either hear it or read it. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, it's the gospel that saves our soul. We heard it. We trusted it. In whom also, having believed, you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit of God came in you, and he acted as a seal. You were sealed by the Spirit. What does it mean to be sealed? Well, the Bible talks a number of different places about a sealing, not sea kind of sealing, that kind of sealing above us, but the one that starts with an S. Let's just take a look at one text, Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, one example of a sealing and what the significance of a sealing. Daniel chapter 6, they want to throw Daniel into the lion's den, and we're familiar with that story, aren't we? Notice what it says about the sealing, verse 16. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel. They cast him into the den of lions, but the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. I can't, but your God will. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. And so the sealing prevented anything from changing. It protected that stone from being moved. It made sure that the verdict regarding Daniel would stay the same. Nothing could touch it. Nothing could alter it. If God didn't save him, Daniel would die. And that's what a seal would do. It would protect something. It would guarantee something. It would make sure that something couldn't change. And when we trusted Christ, we received the Spirit of God who lives in us, who dwells in us, and he is our seal. He makes sure that the promises of God in our life could never be altered or changed. And all the things that God promises us who believe in Christ about the future will not be changed. We'll die. We'll go to heaven. We'll get resurrection bodies. And we will have an eternal inheritance that we'll enjoy forever. Can't be changed. The Spirit of God is he's our seal. He's our seal. He's not only our seal, the Spirit of God is our down payment. He's our down payment. Who, verse 14, is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's us. We are the purchased possession. Jesus bought us with his blood. And the Spirit of God is the guarantee of our inheritance. Literally in the Greek, he is a down payment. The purchase of your first home is something you never forget. I remember signing the papers. Scared to death, that first house. I'll give you the statistics. It was many, many years ago up in Eastlake, Ohio. We paid $58,500 for a cute little cracker box starter home. And it really was a cute little thing. It was a beautiful place to start out. We sold it 4.5 years later for $79,000. That was a $21,500 profit. That is how you spell the grace of God. The grace of God. We landed in the right place, in the right school district, in an old street that had a new allotment built up around it, which raised the value of all of our homes on our street. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. But we put down a very, very humble down payment because I just graduated from seminary and all we had was a very humble down payment. But that humble down payment was a promise that 360 more payments were going to follow after that. That's what it was. It was a promise that more payments were coming to the lending institution. But God, when he gives us a down payment, his down payment is worth a whole lot more. It's the Spirit of the living God who lives in us, who comforts us and guides us and prays for us and bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of the living God. That's our down payment. And God says, if you got the Spirit of God in you because you believed in Jesus, that is a guarantee that more payments are coming in the future. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it's interesting, Paul refers to the Spirit of God as our guarantee in other scriptures. Verse 21, now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us as God, who also has sealed us, and he's given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. That's what the text says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. And so the Spirit of God, he comes and he lives inside a believer the moment that we trust in Jesus, and he's a down payment. He is a guarantee that future promises that God has given us will come to pass. When we die, we'll go to heaven. We'll get eternal resurrection bodies. We will rule with Jesus. We will reign with Jesus. We will inherit everything that belongs to Jesus. All because we belong to Jesus. We are in him. So it doesn't matter where your finances are. I mean, it matters, but in the long run, it doesn't really matter. Because you are very, very wealthy forever if you belong to God by giving your life to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the wonderful, wonderful things that belong to us in Christ. We're not worthy. We don't deserve it. It's all grace upon grace. We are saved by your grace. We are kept and preserved by your grace. And we have all kinds of future promises by your grace. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you for Holy Spirit being the seal, the down payment, the guarantee that our future inheritance is a done deal. It's a sure thing. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen.